All right, in part four of our pre-spring checklist series, we're talking Auburn, Alabama, LSU, and Texas A&M. That's a loaded, loaded show. And plus, I'm not going to take any victory laps. We'll talk about it right after the stinger. It's Felix Sharp here, Matthew Bruning there for CampusDeCanton.com. I guess we're calling this Campus DeCanton Live. If you're watching, please come to the YouTube page, drop a like in the chat. As I mentioned in the intro, we're talking LSU, Auburn, Texas A&M, and Bama tonight. Make sure you watch the other three parts of this series. Before we get to that, Matthew,
yeah,
I remember around this time last year, more so in the fall, where I touted actually two players from the SEC, talking about the SEC tonight. One, Ladd McConkey, and one, Carson Beck. Now, the funny thing is, funny how things work. I think I had him at wide receiver 13 or something like that. And I was thoroughly, yes, you should shake your head. I was abused.
Mm-hmm.
I was teased. Mm-hmm. I was mocked.
Okay.
And I was ridiculed. This is like, I was tweeting about the dude, and you can look at the tweets, look at the responses from the people in this company, Austin Nace, Mike Valerie, making fun of me, which is fine. But through the end of the season, through the Senior Bowl, through the NFL Combine, where he ran a 4.39, you're seeing more and more people talk about Ladd McConkey. And what did I say, Matthew, as far as comp goes? I said, I wasn't going to make a comp for Ladd McConkey, but he reminds me of somebody who was J.J. Watt's teammate near Soaring Eagle Casino. You know, what's funny is I saw Mike Renner from PFF?
Yes.
Make the same comparison. Make the same damn comparison. Because when you're that size and that explosive and you can play inside and outside, it reminds you of a certain player. I'm still not going to say his name. So if you took my advice back in the summer and you got Ladd McConkey, who was a free agent in most freshman and supplemental drafts, you've gotten a return on your investment. So if you think I'm wrong, trade him now. Trade him now. Matthew,
yeah.
Do you remember how I was treated and my love for Ladd McConkey and Carson Beck, who most people have like as a top two quarterback in next year's class? I mean, you remember that, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, like, you are right. You got a return on your investment. I would suggest people sell because you touted Zach Wilson very highly, and that did not work out for the people, like, at all. So we'll see if Ladd McConkey works out for the people. Carson Beck works out for the people. They definitely got a return on their investment. I'll give you that. You're right. We'll give you the standing O. Congratulations. Took a free agent. He's probably getting drafted day two. He's getting drafted day two, right? I think so. He's probably going late round two, early round three, probably. Ladd McConkey. What will he? I don't want to mischaracterize anybody on this show, but I feel like Austin Nace and myself had a fairly similar position on Ladd McConkey. And it was not that we didn't think he was a good player. We just questioned what his fantasy value would be going into the NFL. And I remember this argument, actually, because I asked you.
He's going to go in the top two rounds of the draft, and now you're going to try to take credit for it.
No, I'm not taking credit for anything. I remember this conversation vividly was I asked you what position he's likely going to play in the NFL, and you said he's likely going to be a slot wide receiver. And I said, well, how come you can prop up Ladd McConkey as a slot wide receiver, as this fantasy guy, when you've told me that slot wide receivers rely heavily on their quarterbacks and you completely not
JSN. Do you want to have this conversation?
Exactly,
do you want to do this right now in front of everybody?
So,
do you want to do this
all I'm
here
saying
right now?
Is I have questions about his fantasy upside. Definitely think he's going to go day two. Never said he was a bad player. He tested better than I thought he was. I will give him that. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with him. You know, I would say sell. Sell now while you can.
All right, this is my only rebuttal, and we got to get to the real part of the show. By the way, if you're in the chat, let me know when Zach Wilson was going undrafted in Campus DeCanton freshman and supplemental drafts and became the number two pick overall. Is that a hit? Is that a win? Or is that somehow a loss? You can let me know in the chat. I want to have this conversation about because what you're talking about is Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I had some objections to Jaxon Smith-Njigba's profile, given that he was purely a slot receiver. All of the points that I have on players are usually relative to their value. Mm-hmm. You called Jaxon Smith-Njigba generational.
Like, I never said generational. I said tier zero.
A tier zero player. That's generational. That's generational.
I don't want to rehash this argument.
Point. Can I finish this point? Yeah, all of these positions are relative to value. You all had Ladd McConkey as wide receiver 60. I said he's a top five wide receiver in the class. He was top 15 in my rankings overall. And he's going to go in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. I mean, say what you want. There's a big difference between Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who was going in like the top five of startups last year or the last 2 years, and Ladd McConkey, who was undrafted, who was a free agent in most leagues last year. You cannot compare the two. You cannot compare the two.
You can't. JSN probably won you college games. Ladd McConkey did not. So you're right. You cannot compare the two. JSN at least put up points for you on the college side of things, at least his second year before he got injured.
Drop a like on the video. Let me know who you agree with, Matt or yours truly. The Campus to Canton freshman and supplemental drive. I can't even talk. We haven't been on live in a long time, so I'm a little bit rusty. The Campus to Canton freshman and supplemental draft guide is live now, $19.99, or you get a pick of which guide you'd like to choose if you are a scholarship tier, or you get all three guides if you are an all 20 or NIL member or all 22 member.
Yeah.
All 22, you get all three guides, right?
Yes. Yeah. You either NIL or all 22. Okay. Yes. And if you're a grandfather tier member, you also get one for free as well. If you were with us from the beginning.
We have been covering each of the SEC teams. We've covered the other, 12 in the previous three iterations of this series. And so we're going to cover Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M, and LSU tonight. Let's just start with Alabama, Matthew. Of course, the big change being Kalen DeBoer goes from Washington to Tuscaloosa. It looked like Ryan Grubb was also going to follow him. He takes the offensive coordinator job for the Seattle Seahawks, stays in that area. So Nick Sheraton is going to be the offensive coordinator. He was with Kalen DeBoer at Washington and at Indiana. Jamarcus Shepard is the co-offensive coordinator. Jamarcus Shepard has the wide receiver coach background. Roma Dunze, Jalen Polk, Jalen McMillan. Jalen McMillan, by the way, Colin was right. He is a sleeper in this class. Speaking of slot wide receivers, Jalen McMillan, excellent player. He's probably going to go in the third round of Dynasty rookie drafts. I would keep my eyes on him. But, I mean, the question for this team is, can Kalen DeBoer keep up the standard? They lose a lot. They lose from, you know, players who were focuses last year, Jermaine Burton and Jace McClellan. I don't even know that you can fairly call them focuses. To the transfer portal, they lose Tyler Buckner, who's going to go play lacrosse back at Notre Dame. Roydell Williams is going to Florida State. Texas took a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Texas took Isaiah Bond, Amari Nye Black, and I thought there was a third player that I'm Isaiah missing Bond here. Malik Benson going to Florida State. Ja'Cory Brooks going to Louisville. Julian Sain, who was a member of this freshman class, he's going to Ohio State. We're going to have to talk about that room at some point. Yeah. Caleb Downs is a huge loss for this team. He might just be the best player, regardless of position, in college football. He's at Ohio State. Seth McLaughlin, the center, is going to Ohio State. Also, shout out to John McLaughlin, Seth's dad. And Caden Proctor, some tampering there, goes back to his home state of Iowa. And, of course, they bring in Austin Mack from Washington. Shout out to Folsom there. One-year starter as a junior at Folsom before reclassifying and joining Washington, now transferring to Alabama. Jeremy Bernard on his third team already. Michigan State, Washington, and now Alabama. And I don't know, Ryan Williams should have a heavy role, the freshman wide receiver speaking of reclassifying, another player who have reclassified. Actually, can I stop right there, Matthew?
Yeah.
Because there are two players here who have reclassified, meaning They were supposed to be – Austin Mack should be a freshman this year.
Yeah.
Ryan Williams should be a freshman in college next year. This should be his senior season of high school. How comfortable do you feel rostering these players who have reclassified, who are, you know, a little bit younger than they really should be going into college?
Well, to answer your question real quick, it was Kendrick Blackshear, the linebacker, was the other Alabama transfer going to Texas. It's different for the two players we're talking about in Austin Mack and Ryan Williams. We have not seen a lot of success for these quarterbacks who reclassify and then sit for multiple years. The obvious big name one, speaking of Texas, Quinn Ewers, reclassifies, goes to Ohio State. Again, didn't play his senior year. Obviously, neither did Austin Mack. I worry a little bit more about that than I do Ryan Williams, especially with how poor this wide receiver room looks like right now. There's a realistic shot. I think Ryan Williams could lead this team in receiving, give or take how good we think Jalen Milroe is going to be in the passing game. I would find it very hard to believe that Austin Mack sees the field unless Alabama just completely craps the bed, which is possible. I mean, they almost lost to this USF team last year. I think it was in week three when like the team had the quote-unquote mutiny when Tyler Buchner ended up starting. The only thing that really kept them in that game was that defense. They lost a lot of that to the NFL draft. They lost a lot of that to the transfer portal as well. Like, it's a completely different Alabama team. I would not be surprised if they go, I think they played Georgia week three or four, if they go into that game against Georgia with like a loss.
Wait, you're answering a different question. We're talking about reclassification. What are you talking about?
Because I'm getting to that. So that I'm saying if, let me finish. I'm trying to get to the Austin Mack point. So if Austin Mack gets on the field, we will find out very quickly how good he is or isn't. I don't like the reclassification on quarterbacks. I think it's going to be fine for Ryan Williams, again, because of that, regardless of who the quarterback is, whether it's Jalen Miller or if we do get to see Austin Mack, Ryan Williams, I think, is going to thrive. Austin Mack scares me a lot.
Mack scares me more that he's in the SEC as opposed to if he was with Kalen DeBoer at Washington or if he was with Kalen DeBoer at Fresno State. Like, that feels a little bit easier. But you're talking about Austin Mack. You know, if you haven't seen Austin Mack play at Folsom, he's a towering pocket passer, 6 foot six, you know, a little bit skinny at two, college-bound wide receiver. Ontario Smith Jr., that Ontario Smith from the Vikings, his son was one of his wide receivers at Folsom. And then Rico Flores Jr., who is at Notre Dame. And then where did Rico Flores Jr. transfer to? He transferred somewhere else. That was his other wide receiver at Folsom. It was some school on the West Coast. You can let me know in the comments. But those were his two wide receivers. He had 1 year starting at Folsom before he reclassified. And off the top of my head, I should have looked this up before we started the show. Some of these players who have reclassified, the track record is a little bit shaky. Tony Grimes, remember the pandemic? The cornerback going to UNC because they weren't going to have football in his state. He decided to join college early, and he was a highly touted player. I know Tony Grimes has since transferred from UNC. JT Daniels, who played for, I don't know, seven different schools coming out of he went to Mater Dei or St. John Bosco, one of those two, reclassified. And then Quinn Ewers, who we just mentioned. I mean, Quinn Ewers has been, you know, highly touted, but I think at best he's been somewhat of a game manager and not like this elite gunslinging Aaron Rodgers type prospect that he was built up to be. If I have Austin Mack rostered, this is like the perfect time to unload him. You might be able to get, I mean, I probably took him in like the eighth round of campus to camp freshman and supplemental drafts. You could probably get fifth, sixth. I mean, I would exit on with that return because the track record just hasn't been good. And I touted Austin Mack because of his relationship with Kalen DeBoer, the fact that he was going to play with Kalen DeBoer. It's really hard to feel warm and cozy about him now, given that Kalen DeBoer has, I mean, no track record in the Southeast Conference, no track record geographically in that area, regardless of conference. That feels a little bit scary to me. And I do have Austin Mack rostered in a lot of different places. And during drafts this season, I will probably be looking to unload him, maybe as a part of a package, but that it just feels a little bit scary. I don't know what that team is going to look like. It feels a little bit scary.
I think if you want to, what I was going to say, the one thing on the positive side is that Kalen DeBoer wanted him to come with him to Alabama. And I know obviously there's a relationship there, and we see a lot of coaches and players do that, but to have, I know he was the top, one of the, at least the top three QB on all the services, and Julian saying to have a conversation with him and say, hey, we're going to go a different direction, bring in Austin Mack. I think that at least speaks to the faith you would believe Kalen DeBoer has in him. And the one thing I will say with Kalen DeBoer, while I agree with you, obviously he has no track record in the SEC. His actual coaching record everywhere he's been, though, speaks for itself with all the national titles he won in the FCS and then what he's done, even if you go all the way back to his time as an offensive coordinator in at Indiana with what he did with Michael Penix the first time before they reunited in Washington. He succeeded everywhere he's went. I believe he will be fine in Alabama, but I do agree with a lot of the points you made on being worried about Austin Mack.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Indiana, Ryan, Kalen DeBoer's time there. I mean, I'm not going to get into Michael Penix Jr. and having been talked about him for the last 3 years. Since we're on this subject about the quarterback position, I think that it is worth noting. I don't know that we need to go into it, but Kalen DeBoer's offenses have been pass heavy, at least with Michael Penix Jr., been very vertical. To a certain extent with Jake Haener, it was a little bit vertical, not as much as Michael Penix Jr. That is not Jalen Milroe's strength. That is not Jalen Milroe's strength at all. And so I guess the question becomes, is Jalen Milroe a fit for Kalen DeBoer's offense? I think that the answer to that question is unequivocally no, but to what end? What does it matter? Is Austin Mack going to unseat Jalen Milroe? Probably not, but it's still a weird fit there between those two, between Milroe and DeBoer. It just is schematically.
Yeah, it is, and that's why I brought up earlier with Austin Mack. I think how Alabama's season goes early on will tell us if we're going to see Austin Mack or not. I think if they start to struggle, there's no reason for Kalen DeBoer to keep Jalen Milroe in there, but he doesn't fit that system at all. We're going to get, I guess, really, we will really get to see how good of an offensive coach and offensive mind Kalen DeBoer is, because he'll have to reshape this offense in a way around Jalen Milroe. Now, the big thing with Milroe, and where I think he could succeed, something we saw Michael Penix do, and I'm not comparing the two at all, like arm strength-wise or anything like that. Michael Penix thrived last year in a lot of those deep balls. I think Kalen DeBoer does a really good job of scheming wide receivers open. Jalen Milroe, as you fought Quinn Ewers fans on Twitter about, was fairly comparable to what Quinn Ewers did, and was actually one of the better quarterbacks throwing the ball deep. Like, Jalen Milroe was not that bad throwing the ball deep. Will Kalen DeBoer be able to scheme wide receivers open the way he was at Washington against the Pac-12? I'll be curious to see.
Don't come over here and say Jalen Milroe was good deep. I mean, Isaiah Bond wouldn't have transferred.
He wasn't bad.
Okay, whatever. I want to move on here to the running back position, because I think that that's really exciting. I want to hear, Matthew, yeah. I don't know how much you watch Justice Haynes. He was my number one running back in the 2020, yes. 2023 class. We talked to him. We talked to his dad. We didn't get to see much of him last year. You know, people are kind of gaga over Cedric Baxter down at Texas. But Justice Haynes, very good running back in his own right. And I think that there's a chance that he could be the center of this offense in 2024.
I have no doubt that he 100% is going to be. And just for clarification, 52% passing completion percentage over with balls over 20 yards. Like, he was not bad. A dot of 34.4. That's pretty good for a run first quarterback. I'm just saying, like, he was not bad passing the ball deep. I have no doubt that this game is hit. The offense is going to revolve around Justice Haynes. I think there's, actually, I don't think there's an argument. Right now, I think Justice Haynes is the best player on that offense. I think Ryan Williams could become that given the time throughout the season and definitely next year. But Justice Haynes is an absolute stud. He was my number two. He was a tier one player for me last year. He was, I think, 0.4 or 0.5 points behind Cedric
Baxter. Describe him. Describe his play for people who have not seen him play. Because a lot of people, they don't have the freshman guy. They didn't watch him play down there at Buford. You know, they don't. Actually, let me do it. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead. He's your guy. You're the one who got him on the
show. He is my guy. I know. I just wanted to hear what your description was. This is going to sound like it's not a good comp, but it is a good comp. He reminds me a little bit of Chase Edmonds. Now, Chase Edmonds coming out of whatever New York school he went to, I forgot which one it was. He was like instinctively quick. And that is Justice Haynes. Like, he's thick enough and low to the ground, but he can make you miss in a phone booth in very tight quarters. And he also like rolls his shoulders forward to not take direct contact or to take it on his shoulder pad so he can bounce off of players. And he's not the player that's going to go, you know, break a combine record, but he has really good controlled acceleration. And now I know Jahmyr Gibbs went and ran four, sub 4.4 at the combine. I didn't realize he was going to do it. I thought Jahmyr Gibbs might be like a 4.5 guy who's just a really good accelerator. Justice Haynes reminds me of that, that he's a controlled accelerator. So take all that to what you will. A little bit of Chase Edmonds, a little bit of Jahmyr Gibbs. I think that he could probably be a good pass catcher. That needs to be explored by Nick Sheridan and the offensive coordinator there. But I was excited about – I think the services had Cedric Baxter as the number one running back in the class because of his athleticism. I mean, he was, you know, he's 205, 215 pound, whatever it was. He had great testing, a little bit more of an upright runner. To me, Justice Haynes looks more like a running back with running back instincts, not the same athleticism as Cedric Baxter, but the instincts that you want to see at the running back position. I think that Justice Haynes has those in spades, and that's why I think that he's going to be the center of the offense in 2024, because I don't know that they're going to have Jalen Milroe throwing the ball 45 times a game like they did with Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, no, I agree. I also would add in incredible vision, and I think his movement behind the line was the best in the class. Like Cedric Baxter, and you saw a little bit of that at Texas last year as well, I think was a little bit indecisive and thrived in big plays. There's a couple plays I'd posted on Twitter back in the day with him just breaking out these big runs. Like Justice Haynes just always seems to hit the right hole, go to the right cutbacks when needed. Like he's just a very smart player. I think I agree with you. Like I think Ryan Williams is overall the better football player and could become that, but I think the offense will thrive and revolve around Justice Haynes next year.
Yeah, I agree. Let me know what you think about Alabama's outlook for 2024 in the comments. You know, are they a playoff team? Are they an SEC champion? Probably not. Let me know what you think there in the comments. Oh, by the way, if you want to go, you can look for that interview that we had with Justice Haynes. I guess you would just put into YouTube Justice Haynes Campus to Canton, and it will come up. We talked to his dad, Veron, who was actually the Pittsburgh Steelers running back. He was on that Super Bowl team that won in Detroit. So I asked him what that play call was, the Antoine Randall reverse touchdown, and he said he didn't remember. So I still remember some of my play calls from high school, so I just assumed he would. But he was a running back. I was a quarterback, so I was using that verbiage in the huddle. Don't kill me, Dad. Don't kill me. All right, let's move on here to Auburn. I don't know that there's anything left to say about Alabama. I don't know that there's that much to say about Auburn, as a matter of fact. Hugh Freeze is still there. Derek Nix, offensive coordinator, hired away from Ole Miss. This is a team that loses Robbie Ashford. I'm laughing because Robbie Ashford is not an impact player at all. I do think that he has a future at another position in the NFL. Robbie Ashford goes to South Carolina. He's also on his third team. What? He was like a two-sport player at Oregon, then goes to Auburn, and now he's at South Carolina. Javarius Johnson was a key contributor last year, key contributor at the wide receiver position. He only had like 400 yards receiving. He has transferred, but he is uncommitted. He's not committed anywhere. The what we're looking at going into the spring with this class, Matthew, is the freshman class. Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Walker White. Do this for me the same way I did with Justice Haynes. For those who have not seen Cam Coleman, describe his play, his game, his size, his speed.
He is an absolute freak at the athletic position. I know he's listed over 6'3". I don't remember his weight.
He's like 215 pounds. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know he runs over 21 miles per hour. At least that's what our team had him as. Just incredible contact balance when he has the ball in his hand. Really good at running deep routes. He's not a fully developed route tree from what I remember. But
I think I would think about Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU. You know, I think that that's a really good comparison. I have no idea what his comparisons are for the services. But here are – you can go get the freshman guide. These are the stats in the freshman guide. At a camp, 4.4, 6.40, 10-8 broad jump, 4-9 short shuttle, 6-3-7 three cone, all at that elevated size. I mean, I've stole your thunder here.
No, you're good.
Like it makes me wonder, is the big athletic X-wide receiver back? Because we have two of them in this class with Jeremiah Smith at Ohio State and Cam Coleman. Like it used to be 6'2", Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, those guys. And lately it's been all small dudes, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, you know, Antonio Brown. It's been smaller guys. And in this freshman class, Matthew, including Cam Coleman, I mean, and he has excellent, like, ball concentration, can look over both shoulders. I know this is an audio medium, but I'm looking over both of my shoulders. Like, he has excellent ball tracking ability.
Yeah, he is, I would say, arguably one of the best ball trackers in this class. And that it's going to be interesting to see him, I think, in this Hugh Freeze offense. Not something I think we talk about a lot, especially what he's done with the quarterback position, but he also has had these wide receivers that produce, and he's never had, I think, a wide receiver like Cam Coleman. Again, a wide receiver room that I think is wide open, much like the Alabama one. He's already getting a lot of talk in spring camp. Hugh Freeze did an interview the other day that says when Cam Coleman steps on the field, he just looks different. He makes our entire wide receiver room look different. I think it's a good thing that he is an early enrollee and already going to be in there and working with that offense. I think the biggest question or fear you have to have is, can he thrive with Peyton Thorne at quarterback? I know a lot of the wide receivers and even their freshman Walker White have kind of propped up Peyton Thorne and what he can do. But it's he has a chance to be a very good wide receiver, not only in the SEC, but obviously for Auburn. And they obviously have Perry Thompson as well, who I think is some people here believe is even better than Cam Coleman. So, like, they have an incredible freshman class coming in.
Yeah, Perry Thompson. Speaking of players that we've interviewed, I mean, Walker White has been on this channel a bunch. I feel like we wouldn't do justice. Just you can go check his interviews out, multiple interviews out with the official team there. This is year two of Hugh Freeze rebuilding this program. I don't know that we can – Peyton Thorne threw for 1,700 yards last year. This is not an exciting football team. It's going to revolve around Jarquez Hunter, who feels like he's, what, in year five, Damari Alston. Brian Bate is still there. Brian Bate is still there. Little Brian Bate is still there. This team is going to run the football. Hopefully they get some development from the wide receiver position. They do bring in Robert Lewis from Georgia State. If you were playing in Campus to Canton leagues last season, you were starting Robert Lewis in a lot of your games. So they bring him over. No idea. He had it like 900 yard receiving last year. There's zero chance he's going to be that productive with Peyton Thorne throwing him the ball. Yeah. I think what we're looking forward to for this team is in year three of Hugh Freeze building the program, then you get those two wide receivers and you get Walker White, you know, back there being a gunslinger for him. I think that that's what you look for Auburn. This is a team that was 6-7 last year in Hugh Freeze's first year. I don't know. The only players that I take them. I was going to say the only players that you want to have rostered are the freshmen, but I like Jarquez Hunter enough. I think that he has an NFL future. I touted Damari Alston last year. I like Damari Alston as a freshman. He didn't play as well as I thought he would. Remember last offseason where we thought Jarquez Hunter, because of, you know, the things in his personal life, was not going to play?
Yes.
Like, that was up in the air for a long time.
Yeah.
And then he ended up having, I don't know, a decent season. So, yeah, that's that. If you are watching on Twitter, we definitely encourage, I don't know if the people on Twitter can drop us comments or likes. I don't know how that works. If it doesn't, you can drop us comments if you're watching on Twitter. If you are, if you'd like to, if you're so inclined, come join us live on the YouTube page. So you can drop us a like and subscribe to the channel. Let's move on here to LSU. Now, I think that this is a fun team because Garrett Nussmeier, I don't know if he's a dark horse for the Heisman, but I think that he's a strong candidate for the Heisman, given LSU's profile and given his play style. Speaking of last year, there was a point where Garrett Nussmeier and Jaden Daniels were competing for the job where they were like, all right, maybe they'll just use a two quarterback system and use Garrett Nussmeier to be the passer. And then we saw why in the bowl game. What do you have, like four or five touchdown passes, throwing the ball all over the place to Brian Thomas Jr., to Kyren Lacy. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier isn't the athlete, obviously, that Jaden Daniels is. But he might be every bit the passer that Jaden Daniels is, maybe a little bit more so.
I think he's by far a better passer. Jaden Daniels, I think, got a little bit lucky at times, and there's some things that he improved. I shouldn't say got lucky. He improved a lot over his 2 years there at LSU, but I don't think he has some of the nuances in his game that Garrett Nussmeier does. I think he is a much better passer of the ball, not only deep, but also in the short intermediate areas. I think, obviously, this offense is going to run completely differently because Garrett Nussmeier is not going to be able to run anywhere near the way that Jaden Daniels will, but I think it will still Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers had incredible seasons last year. I think that continues maybe even more so with more of a pocket passing quarterback like Garrett Nussmeier there. You are muted, good sir.
The question is going to be, how do they replace the production of Brian Thomas Jr. and of Malik Nabers, obviously? Yeah. I think that could be somewhat – this could be a more balanced offense because Caleb Jackson was what? Is he going to be in his third year, in his second year, in his third year? Caleb Jackson is probably what? A top 15, 20 running back in all of Campus to Ken in the country? Caleb Jackson, top 15? That's not a hot take.
No. He's I would say at worst top 20.
And obviously the question is who's going to replace Brian Thomas and Malik Nabers? And I actually don't know. Is Kyren Lacy? I'm going to the
Kyren Lacy still there. They brought in CJ Daniels in the transfer portal, Xavier Thomas in the transfer portal, Aaron Anderson's coming back, who transferred in last year. I think Chris Hilton's still there. I'm now
CJ Daniels.
Yeah, transferred
in from, say, CJ Daniels. From Liberty.
Yeah, Liberty.
Okay. And Xavier Thomas, I think he's more of a return man. They bring in AJ Swan to provide some depth there. I don't think that he's a candidate to start. Of the freshman, Colin Hurley, I actually wrote his profile for the freshman guide. He's the freshman there. Tre'Dez Green, Kalen Balut, Caden Durham, Jelani Watkins, wide receiver, and wide receiver Michael Turner. That encompasses their freshman class.
Yeah.
Are you excited about – we're excited about Caleb Jackson. Are you excited about any of the wide receiver options here? Like, Mason Taylor, the tight end, Jason Taylor's son.
Oh, yeah.
Kyren Lacy.
Yeah, I would – I should not have left Thomas out because I think especially in C2C leagues with the lack of real elite tight ends, he could be an interesting one. I do think it's going to come down to Lacy or Daniels. Daniels is obviously intriguing to me, being an upperclassman. I think he's a junior, possibly going into a senior year. I can't ever remember how any of these people, their eligibility with COVID now. But he's an upperclassman. Kyren Lacy is also, I believe, a senior. Those are probably the two lead guys because I think they'll both be on the outside. Maybe Aaron Anderson, though he didn't do much last year. I don't have any faith in Chris Hilton. So I think it comes down to one of those two. With what I believe Garrett
between Nabers and Thomas, they lose 1,700 yards of receiving production. Kyren Lacy had about 550. Mason Taylor had 350. Chris Hilton Jr., 225. And so, I mean, if Garrett Nussmeier is going to be a Heisman Trophy candidate, those three and CJ Daniels are really going to have to step up.
And I think they will. That's what I was with. I like the fact that they promoted Joe Sloan, who was the quarterback coordinator or quarterback coach, up to offensive coordinator. So I don't think that the offense is going to change a ton for Garrett Nussmeier. Obviously, like I said earlier, they're not going to have him running the way they did Jaden Daniels. But I do think that they will be a more pass-heavy team, which I then do think that allows the wide receivers to thrive. If I was aiming for two, it would be those two. It would be CJ Daniels and Kyren Lacy. I'd probably take the cheaper one in drafts because I think you'll get the benefit of those guys. I mean, CJ Daniels, again, it was Liberty, but had over 1,000 yards receiving last year. I think both those guys are going to be good. Realistically, who's the best defense in the SEC? It's just Georgia now, right? I mean, Alabama lost so many of those players in the secondary. I don't think their secondary is going to be as good. Like, I don't know who really challenges LSU defensively to really kind of slow them down. I was going to try and pull up their schedule really quick because their defense, I think, is still going to be pretty bad this year. So I think they're going to be stuck in a lot of shootouts, which I think is just going to lead to more and more production for the wide receivers. USC, South Carolina, UCLA. I mean, Ole Miss with all the players they brought in, maybe that'll be a good one. Texas A&M. Like, those are the only two defenses I think maybe can slow them down a little bit, if you want to say slow them down. So, again, I think both those guys could have really good seasons. I'd go with the cheapest one you get in drafts. I don't know where their ADPs are at currently.
Yeah, I don't know if there is a particular freshman in this class. So I wrote up Colin Hurley's profile, but for reasons I stated in the guide, there's just like no chance that I'm rostering him this year. And he's going to be competing with Bryce Underwood next year. Garrett Nussmeier has this year and next year his eligibility if he wants it. I mean, Colin Hurley's a candidate to transfer after next season, so I'm not drafting him. Is there a freshman that I'm missing here that we should be considering?
I mean, Caden Durham, the running back, is interesting, especially with what happened with Trey Holly and his off the field stuff that I would assume means he's probably not ever going to play football again, or at least not anytime soon. So he's probably the only one out of this class. I actually read your profile on Colin Hurley, but I'd imagine based on what you said, we are fairly similar in our beliefs of what we think of him moving forward. So I'm not really in on him either.
I saw him he was a freshman at the Massillon, Ohio Elite 11 camp 2 years ago where Dante Moore was there. And the kid from J.J. Cole from Iowa State was there also. And Colin Hurley was there as a freshman. So shout out to Alan True for pointing him out to me. Okay, that's it on LSU, I think, unless there's something. Garrett Nussmeier might be a free agent, by the way. In your league.
Real quick, actually, because there was some spring notes on this. So they've had three practices, and I believe they break after Friday for spring break. Well, they'll be gone for 10 days. So far, through the first couple days of camp, Kyron Lacy has been starting at the W spot, Chris Hilton at X, Aaron Anderson at Z, followed with CJ Daniels, Xavier Thomas, and Kyle Parker on the what?
I'm laughing at Aaron Anderson doing anything because through three seasons, he's done absolutely nothing, and he's starting now?
He's starting at the Z. Well, it's either him or Kyle Parker, according to this. And so,
wasn't it Aaron Anderson that Nick Saban walked up to after their game and said, you would have been playing more here? I think it was.
Possibly. I don't remember.
Yeah, it was. It was absolutely.
But one of the guys we actually liked last year in Shelton Sampson, but we were worried would be a year 1-0 and was a year 1-0, has bumped his weight up from 190 to 193 and is playing on the second team as
well. Are you reporting about 3 pounds?
I'm putting that into the story of letting you know that he's also on the second team with CJ Daniels, Xavier Thomas, and Kyle Parker. And he bumped his weight up.
Do you have anybody else who's gained a pound?
There was actually a whole list. I just didn't list all of them because I thought Shelton Sampson was the only one worth talking about at the time. But I can pull that up if you'd like. It was about 10 of them.
No, that's, I mean,
are you sure?
Enlightening.
I can do it.
Enlightening. All right. That brings us to Texas A&M. Man, if there is a team that has done less with more than Texas A&M, please point them out because they've been going gangbusters. In recruiting the last couple of years and haven't had a lot to show for it. New head coach Mike Delco.
We should say that was Jimbo Fisher. They turned over a new leaf. It's a new coaching staff. Let's give them a chance to prove themselves.
The problem is they still got like this Jimbo Fisher running back committee, which we'll get to here in a second. New head coach Mike Delco is there from Duke. Colin Klein comes over from Kansas State. I feel like I remember Colin Klein playing. Did Colin Klein play at Kansas State?
Yes, he did. Yes.
Man, you're getting old, Matthew. You know what made me feel old is Dan. I was reading a mock draft article and they were talking about Dan Morgan being the GM of the Panthers. I'm like, damn, like I used to Dan Morgan, what? He came out of Miami. I used to trade him to the Lions back in like 2001, 2002 on that. Him and William Green. From the Browns, from Boston College.
Yeah.
Drop this video a like if you're old enough to remember William Green. Nobody's going to like this video because
we'll have two likes. They don't.
They're too old. They're too young, excuse me. They lose Ania Smith to the NFL draft, Evan Stewart to Oregon, Max Johnson went to what, UNC?
With his brother.
They do add your boy. I didn't realize EJ Smith. Okay, so you add EJ Smith to Le'Veon Moss, Reuben Owens, and who's the third guy? That's
Amari Daniels.
Amari, I don't want anything to do with that backfield.
I don't either, really. I mean, I think EJ Smith's the best receiving back in that whole room, but I don't know who's going to be the starter. Time. I mean,
you and these Stanford running backs, because you loved Austin Jones.
I did love Austin Jones. Me and Colin.
You loved EJ Smith.
So did Colin. You know, it's just me and Colin got to keep that going. I think Reuben Owens is the most talented running back out of all these four, but I have no idea what they're going to do. I mean, Le'Veon Moss was not horrible last year. Wasn't great. Amari Daniels actually led the room last year in rushing yards, I believe with over 500, and was right there with Reuben Owens in rushing attempts. So like, I don't know what they're going to do with this. I want the starting running back if they're going to have one, because we've seen what Colin Klein has been able to do with Kansas State and those running backs, but they don't have the Deuce Vaughn type in that room. So I really don't know who it's going to be, but if they do declare one through spring, like if we find out Reuben Owens has been dominating the first team touches and they say, hey, he's going to be, you know, our leading running back, I do want that. I do want him on my teams. I think he will thrive in this offense, but right now it's hard to guess who it is. I would lean Reuben Owens over all the others, but that's just because I think he's the best in the room.
So we expect there to be a running back by committee: Amari Daniels, Le'Veon Moss, EJ Smith, and Reuben Owens. If we're talking about post-spring transfers, I think that we could, you know, potentially somebody from that running back room could be a transfer. I actually like Le'Veon Moss to a certain degree. If he could find himself as a primary back, I would pay attention to him. And then, of course, how do they replace Evan Stewart? So they bring in Jabari Barber from Troy. He had 900 yards receiving last year. I don't know how that missed my radar, because I was looking for wide receivers. I didn't have Jabari Barber on my radar. They bring in Cyrus Allen from Louisiana Tech. Jedi Walker is returning. Trey Watson is a transfer in at tight end. Of course, Noah Thomas kind of started off hot, and then I think he got injured, right? I think Noah Thomas got injured.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big body, so it's not surprising that a player like that would get injured. And then Moose Muhammad's son. God, we're getting old.
Yeah.
Think about players watching players. I mean, I remember Moose Muhammad for the Panthers. I remember him for the Bears. Moose Muhammad's son is still there. What?
Who was it? I have to remember this.
We're just totally dominant.
Moose Muhammad, Steve Smith, and Jake DeLome. It was an incredible trio.
They played the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of the two transfers in. Noah Thomas was the hot player last year.
Yeah.
I think I still want to kind of see how that develops. I mean, at the very least, Noah Thomas has the height to be, you know, a red zone threat. I don't know how athletic he is, if he's like comparable to Drake London, Teteroa McMillan, those types of players. I just haven't seen enough of him yet. But, I mean, Noah Thomas, that's another player who might not be rostered in a lot of different leagues. Yeah. He may have been picked up as a free agent, but Noah Thomas I would watch out for to make sure he's not rostered. Is there a freshman player here, Isaiah Williams, Matthew, that we should be taking note of? We need to have a freshman show, but is there a freshman for Texas A&M?
No, the one that you actually did not put, or you did not mention, now his name is completely jumped out of my head, and he's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the class, and I can't remember what his name is, but it's their quarterback that they brought in, and I will try and pull it up really quick, because for the life of me cannot remember. Miles O'Neal, who played in New Jersey. I actually wrote up his profile. I think he's got an incredible arm. Really good junior season, kind of flatlined a little bit as a senior, but arguably one of the strongest arms in the class. His ability to drive the ball to all three levels of the field, I think, has some of the best mechanics in this class as well. Really high velocity, very good accuracy. Like, I think he could easily step in once Connor Wigman, I believe, will go to the NFL after this year and just thrive in this offense. He is a little bit, can do a little bit with his legs as well, which I think, again, fits what Colin Klein has done or what he will do with Connor Wigman and with Miles O'Neal moving forward. He's the freshman that I like. Back to the wide receivers that you brought up. I'm not going to pretend like I know this at all. I'm 100% stealing this from Bud Elliott, Cover 3 podcast, friend of all, a lot of us here at Campus Decanton. We love what they do. Talked about on their show recently that a lot of the Texas A&M coaching staff are very excited about Noah Thomas and what he was doing before he got injured and what he's been doing coming back. He was a name that he mentioned, and then they did mention Barker as well as a player they were excited about. So those would probably be the two that I'd look to. I mean, like Moose Muhammad, and he's been productive, but I don't think he's the guy who's going to like lead this offense. I think it's going to end up being one of those two guys.
All right. That is Texas A&M. That's all we got on the show sheet, Matthew. Is there anything else you wanted to cover?
God, was that really it? Those four teams?
That's it.
That's it.
No, yeah. I mean, some of these, you know, these off-season shows are a little bit shorter.
Yeah. No, I think Le'Veon Moss is going to – I was going to say that I think he is the one who transfers out. Amari Daniels led that backfield last year. I just don't see him leaving. I think they still give him a shot to be the guy. I think Le'Veon Moss is gone. We'll see what happens to him. Good running back.
All right. Le'Veon Moss is gone. We are gone too. Drop the video a like and subscribe to the channel if you haven't already. We'll be back next week somewhere around the same time. All right. Peace, y'all.